Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Love Sport.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio by the brilliant Sean Wade. And what an hour we have for you. It is a first tonight, let me tell you, because it is just me and Sean in the studio. We are taking you through as the Magpies take over Love Sport HQ. We're going to be looking at two games, Sheffield United and Southampton. And what a time for me and Sean to be alive, because it is two wins back to back. We can't wait to get into those three games unbeaten now for the two Army, looking at those games, and it is a packed show. You may think, just Charlie and Sean flying us through. No, we are joined by the ever great Joe Donoghue, and Steve Rafe is joining us. We've packed it up with guests, and then we thought, let's get the hat-trick. We're delighted to say former Burnley striker Andy Cook will be joining us for all the opposition view. Great to have him on and see what he says about the game on the weekend. But we are starting at the very top and with those back-to-back wins, and they had their fair share of drama. And you can have your say on them as well tonight. You can join the star-studded lineup 0208 7020 558. Or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio and you can put your questions to the team and we can answer them. But Sean, we have to go back to last Thursday, to 6 days ago, when it was Sheffield United in Sheffield at Bramall Lane. They're having a brilliant season this year under Chris Wilder. But Newcastle went in there, and I must admit, and I think Sheffield United fans would say the same, made them look very average, sort of uncharacteristically unlike Sheffield this year.
I don't know if we made them look average. I think they had some brilliant shots, some brilliant attempts on goal. And I think the difference was Martin Dubravka. He played absolutely outstanding. So, and he was the saviour for it, to be fair. In my opinion, that is, in any case. But I just thought he just played absolutely outstanding. I think Sheffield played well, and to give us a little bit credit, I think Newcastle just played that little bit better, you know. Over the moon.
Well, they did. They got enough to get the result, obviously, but it was a brilliant result. It was 2-0, keeping Sheffield United off the score sheet, having a clean sheet themselves. There's a big talking point. No, not VAR from the game, but ASM gets off the mark. He gets his first goal, and I think all of the Geordies are absolutely over the moon with this one, Sean.
Definitely. It's kind of one of them. You know, we've got jubilation in the sense that he's got a goal, but then he's just picked up an injury as well. So it's just like, oh man, timing. But there you go. It does happen. It's just who are we going to bring in to replace him at this moment in time. So are they going to take a chance and bring young Matty in and try to play him down the wing, sort of things? Because we need someone that's going to bring some attack to the game. We're looking at injury list. We've got Lascelles out. We've got Matt Ritchie out, you know, which I think Matt Ritchie's a massive miss for the squad. He just brings so much energy and aggression to the game. And he really pipes everyone else on to sort of go that extra yard. So I can't wait for Ritchie to come back, but I don't think he's back until January, possibly, in any case. So, but I think Andy Carroll's playing really well. He's kind of adopting this new role where he's kind of picked up a little bit from where Shearer kind of left off, in my opinion. He's working hard, he's coming back in defence and stuff, and then he's taking the ball out wide and then bringing the ball back in with, like, crossing it back in, where we're getting two goals from this going on, from him going out of that position, you know. So it's quite interesting, the dynamics of how Carroll's in, but also he's took up that mantra as well of actually kind of spurring the full team on, you know. He's kind of taken kind of a captain's role or something, you know. Like, he's, I've been really impressed with the way that he's been communicating with the rest of the players around him, and I think that's what's needed up front. So hopefully more goals will come from that, you know. That is if he can stay injured free.
Well, the prodigal son returning to Newcastle, and now veteran leader in Sean's eyes, he has come back. But it's interesting you mentioned, you know, obviously ASM are injured now for potentially up to a month, and you know, he's been brilliant. He's finally got off the mark, and we're waiting for Almiron desperately to get off the mark as well. But players that have dominated this show, we've spoken about the Longstaff brothers and how they were going to spark the side and galvanise the side, but the one that has done in the past few weeks, it has been Jonjo Shelvey, you know.
Yeah.
Chipping in with not just the odd goal, a fair few goals, you know, albeit from different styles. The VAR goal, which we will get to, the header against Saints, the brilliant goal worked from a free kick against City. We always knew he had this in him, and I know speaking to Ketch and speaking to you guys on the Newcastle Fan Show, the problem with Shelvey was consistency, and sometimes he can be a little bit lazy, but at the minute, Sean, he's been the leader, the symbolic leader of this team.
He's playing, and he's playing well, and it looks like he's hot in it, which has always been a bit of criticism where it's been like kind of, oh, he's a bit lazy on the pitch and stuff, but he seems to have been really spurred on, and so, you know, I've got no complaints with Shelvey. I've always thought he's been fantastic at sort of kicking the ball forward, and he's placing, you know, on that. I mean, he can be knocking the ball a good 45 yards or whatever, and his accuracy on that's just perfect, you know, which then brings the team into attacking. So on that side of him, he's always been brilliant, but he's been like sort of that flow genius in a sense. Whereas now he seems to just be sort of really playing for his shirt. So hopefully, that's going to continue, because it was actually he actually more or less played his own goal. It was a free kick, and then it went out wide, and it was Carroll who knocked it back in, crossed it back in, and then Shelvey got on the end of it for the header, you know. So stuff like that where, like Andy Carroll had said previously, but was during that match, you know, he said, that's where I'm going to be putting the ball. I'm going to always be putting the ball in that 6-yard box. So yous had better be there, you know.
Yeah.
And it was stuff like that I was like, you know, when you like sort of you do a bit of lip reading, and I was so impressed with Carroll, and I thought, you know what, you're pushing the forwards on, and that's going to make goals, you know. It's like if Carroll's telling them, look, regardless of anything, a header, whatever I can get on the end of, I'm going to put it in that 6 yards. So they had better be there, you know, and be on the end of it to put it in the back of the net.
Absolutely. And talking of Shelvey, a player that, you know, was in the England setup, we know the heights. If he can continue this, maybe can he force his way, you know, the Euros on the horizon next year. Let's quickly talk about Shelvey now and the VAR incident, Sheffield United. Chris Wilder saying VAR sucking the life out of the game. Our players now, it's even getting them down. It was a mountain out of a molehill. Lots made of it. We had to wait minutes as we do in VAR.
It was bizarre.
But yeah. Miles onside, Sean.
Yeah, but the thing was is that it's been the strangest goal I've seen. Like, sort of, you know, it was kind of, no one reacted to what was happening, and it was just like, oh, he's offside. So everyone stopped play apart from Shelvey, who just thought...
But the linesman flagged for it.
But the linesman flagged after, like, sort of, everyone had stopped, you know. It was just like, he's offside. But then, so he carried on, and he just thought, well, I'm playing to the whistle, which is what you've got to do.
You play to the whistle.
It's 101, isn't it? Yeah. At the end of the day, it's
but,
like,
you know, Chris Wilder said, you talk about let's play to the whistle, and you know, he said there's a human instinct that when the officials raise a flag, you do stop. He says that's nature, you know, it's not a whistle. You see something, and everyone switches down. He argued it from that perspective, but Shelvey had the foresight to carry on, and in the end, he knew, didn't he? Pointed to his head almost in the celebration. It was, you know, the big old charades act. Let's go to VAR. He'd done the screen, one word, goal, and he got it. It was absolutely spot on.
But, you know, as a player, in any case, you must have some sort of, well, you do, don't you? You know yourself, well, if I'm on side, yeah. So I think that's why he went for it. And if you've got an inkling, well, I could be a bit offside, you've got a bit of doubt, then I suppose that comes through. And he was headstrong, and he just thought, yeah, no, I'm on side. And he went for it. And it was a cracking goal, but it was, like I say, one of the most bizarre goals I've seen. In VAR, actually, like, sort of built that sort of thing, you know, where it was kind of hinging on what's going on. Even the commentators didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, the Pan Panthers so, didn't know what's going on.
They were saying, oh, you should get a yellow card at one point.
Yeah, VAR, it dominates.
Just like, it was bizarre.
It was. They dominate the headlines at the minute, VAR. Well, we said we wanted to hear from you tonight, and that's exactly what you've done. You've got in touch. This time, Dave from Newcastle calling up. Dave, there is so much to talk about. Obviously, the VAR, but I know you want to talk a little bit about Newcastle's offer this week of the buy one, get one free on the season tickets. Dave, thank you for calling up.
Hiya, you're right. I phoned in around about August time, just after the beginning of the season, because I don't know whether you remember or not.
Yes, I remember
I
when you phoned in, Dave.
After 27 years.
Yes.
And I'm just absolutely gobsmacked with what's happening at the club at the moment. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's laughable. You know, before Ashley took over, we had a waiting list of about 10,000. And now they're having to give tickets away.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I got a lot of flack along with other sort of people from the Magpie group and the like for saying that we were going to boycott. Well, consistently since the beginning of the season, by the club's figures, we've been about 10,000 down. Now, the club's figures, I think, are misleading because they count season ticket holders. And we all know season ticket holders who just haven't gone, but they've still got their ticket. So I think, realistically, we've lost about 12,000, 13,000, possibly even more than that, but say 12,000 fans. And that's basically because of one man, that's Mike Ashley. And so what he's done is he's underinvested, he's asset-stripped. So since the beginning of the season, where every game, 10,000, 12,000 down, so that's a loss in revenue for him. It's embarrassing for him with all his Sports Direct advertising, which he hasn't paid for 12 years, hundreds of millions of pounds. And then about a month ago, he sells off land that was bought to expand the ground. And then, once he realises that actually it's looking bad on him, he comes out with this stunt where he's giving tickets away to people. I've got to be honest, there was part of me which thought, do you know something? I'll get one for one of two reasons. Either to go for free, to get some of my money back I've paid to him for the last 12 years, or just not to go at all and continue the boycott sort of thing. But I just think it's embarrassing. Lee Charnley, the managing director, gave his first interview in the press. His first for 5.5 years yesterday. He went on the local radio station. 5.5 years. So those people who said boycotts don't work, I'm sorry, are being proved wrong. The boycotts do work. Because actually, we forced Ashley to do something he's never done before, which is give money away. And we've also forced the managing director, Lee Charnley, one of his mates, to actually come out and try and put a spin on this as being a good thing for the local area.
Dave, can I ask just quickly, because obviously, you know, Lee Charnley, I heard that interview and he's saying, you know, this is brilliant for the fans. This isn't no ulterior motive. You know, this isn't a PR stunt. We are doing this as a thank you to get those fans back in the rafters. And a lot of Newcastle fans are coming out and saying this is a PR stunt. Where do you stand on it all?
It's a massive PR stunt. One of the things people mightn't be aware of is that Ashley is rebranding Sports Direct. And he's calling it something like the Fraser Group to go with the House of Fraser. Now, I don't know, but I'm guessing that over Christmas, in the new year, there'll be a new rebranding of St. James's Park. And he doesn't want his corporate signs to be with the background of fans. That's why he's doing it. To my mind, that's why he's doing it. It is purely financial. Yeah, you know, there's part of my thing, it's really nice that some people can go who haven't been able to afford to go. But that isn't why they're doing it. Because what they're trying to get us to believe is that all of a sudden they've become these benevolent people who are actually on the side of the fans. I heard Charnley talk last night, and he talked about, you know, the fact that, you know, we're moving forward for the club. He said, you know, I don't want to promise things which don't happen. Therefore, I'm not going to say we're going to buy anybody in January. We're not going to buy anybody in January. Mm-hmm. We're not interested in buying anybody. Because actually that would mean he's got to put his hand in his pocket. He thinks 22 points, not even halfway through the season, we're fine.
I think he said as well, though, hasn't he, to Steve Bruce, that I've seen something in articles that's been wrote that they're not going to be signing nobody come January, but possibly two or three in the summer transfer window. But going back over to these so-called free season tickets, I've had a few fans that's contacted me, and they've said that they cancelled in the summer after Rafa was sacked, and then with that they had paid for like sort of half a season up front. In any case, so essentially the club have took this money, like sort of whether it be like say £200-300 off these fans, so they've never been refunded. So essentially, these free season tickets aren't actually free, are they? It's the clubs trying to sell the tickets off in the first part of the season, and then for the last 10 games, they're giving them away. But really, the clubs kind of recouped the money already, haven't they? You know, that they've been paid for that half a season already.
It's just a massive con, isn't it? Steve Bruce was on Sky this afternoon, just doing one of his interviews, and he said, "Isn't it great what the club are doing? Thanking our fans, our loyal fans. What about my loyalty? Yeah. What about my blinking loyalty? I've supported them for 55 years. I've paid thousands of pounds. I could have paid me blinking mortgage off. I've paid thousands of pounds to go and see my team home and away. And do you know, people say, oh, this is about Bruce. It's not about Bruce. I don't care who the manager is. It could be bloody Mickey Mouse for all I care. As soon as Ashley goes, whoever manager we've got and whatever league we're in, I'll go back. But I'm not going to go anywhere near it at the moment, and I'll actively campaign to get rid of them, because actually this boycott has worked, and people need to realise that, and that's what we want. We want people to join in, and get involved.
Dave, I think you're speaking what every other Newcastle fan's feeling, was certainly the majority. Dave's always good to have you on the show. Please call up whenever you want. Just good to get your insight and your take on it. Dave there saying that, you know, he thinks it is a PR stunt. Well, we've had a caller, now we're going to other callers. We're going to be speaking to Joe Donoghue next on his take of the season so far.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. We were just talking about the games. There was so much to say. Obviously, 7 points in the last nine. Is Steve Bruce turning that corner? We got a call from Dave talking about those season tickets. We're going to be discussing that a little bit more and looking towards that game with Burnley. But I'm delighted now we've got another special guest joining us. It is Joe Donoghue. Joe, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Newcastle Fan Show and giving us a little bit of your time. It's weird, I've tried to get you on the show for ages, and then Sean was like, yeah, I've got Joe on tonight, because I read your tweets, I follow your tweets, you're constantly tweeting about Newcastle and what's going on. I love all your takes, you know, from the XG and XG expected goals, but from this season so far and this brilliant mini run they're having, what are you making of it all? Steve Bruce at the helm, you know, has it changed from where they were in August to now where we sit in December?
Well, thanks for having me on, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be on. I suppose you could say it has changed a little bit. We saw even just in sort of the way that the team is set up, with the two wide players playing a bit closer to Joe Linton or Andy Carroll. The one thing you could say about Steve Bruce is that he's listened to the concerns and he has sort of started to switch it up a bit. And while I don't agree that he's going to be anywhere to the level of, you know, taking the club where the supporters would want it to go, I do think that, you know, he does deserve some credit for the work that he's done and the amendments that he's made.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think when he was first signed for Newcastle, I don't think that the timing was particularly great with how Rafa was treated by the club and stuff. So I think any manager coming in would have had a hard time, to be fair. But we can't argue with the results that he's getting at the minute and with how the team's playing. You know, they seem to be responding to him. So I think that's the most important thing. For me, I don't care where the goals come from, whether it's the defender or if it's a striker, to be honest, as long as the goals are going in the back of the net. What I wanted to ask you, Joe, was to get your take on what you think's sort of going on with this whole sort of a free half a season ticket that the club's dished out 10,000 of.
I suppose it's a nice initiative for some fans, so like young families, for example, who don't really get the opportunity to get to go to games very often. And I suppose it's, 10,000 potential extra people who can donate to the NUFC Fans Food Bank who do great work at every home game.
Yeah.
But I suppose it does kind of paper over the cracks of the most deep-seated issues at the club and why there are 10,000 season tickets sort of up for grabs for free, really, which is kind of one of the main issues that I think has been, you know, plaguing the club this season. Obviously, is the attendances, and you know, as you were saying, you know, 3 wins out of the last 5, 4 wins out of the last 6, or whatever it is, and yet the lowest home attendance for 9 years. Mm-hmm. That's a major problem at any club. Never mind one that always sells out.
Joe, looking at your timeline, looking at your tweets, you spoke about the attacking threats and their play and actually how you was a fan of it, you know, ASM, Almiron and Joe Linton. That was a little while ago, that tweet. What are you making of it all now? Because I know, look, you know, everyone loves a stat and, you know, we can go, oh, Almiron's not off the mark, ASM's just off the mark. Now he's got this injury. Joe Linton seems to see maybe fallen out of favour a little bit. You know, he's not performing at maybe the heights that everyone would thought he was going to do. What are you making of it now?
I think when you judge players by their goals and assist output alone, it's a very binary way of looking at it. You know, there's so much that Almiron, for example, brings to the team in terms of being an outlet. You know, he's very tenacious in his tackling as well. He might not be the most robust, but you know, he'll hold the ball up. He'll win fouls for you. Very much the same for Saint-Maximin. I think yes, if their end product was better, they'd be brilliant footballers. But then you'd have to question whether they'd be at Newcastle instead. And I mean, when it comes to Joe Linton, yeah, he's a player that I admired last season when he was at Hoffenheim, and I was quite surprised to see that, you know, we were so strongly linked with him, never mind sign him. But the one thing that I didn't want to happen when we did sign him was to use him as a target man, because, you know, he's a big barrel-chested centre-forward, but he's kind of best when he plays alongside someone or in behind, like he did with Kramaric or Belfodil at Hoffenheim last season. So I think with the injury to Saint-Maximin over the next month, I think it gives the opportunity to perhaps play Joe Linton off the right, and, you know, have Carroll or Gale leading the line, preferably Carroll, with Almiron on the left, and, you know, maybe mix it up a bit there, because, you know, it's been well documented that the front three haven't turned in those goals and assists. But I think maybe if we try something a little bit different, then we might get the best out of those players.
I think with the injuries as well, we could be looking at, you know, like sort of Sean and Matty Longstaff coming into the squad as well. It could open up for them. Do you know when Lascelles is due to be back at all? Or
I think it was said that he'd be back in the new year, that he wouldn't
so
play over
said,
the
they haven't said
the Christmas
what?
Period.
Oh, right. So they haven't said like if it's going to be Jan or Feb or anything like that. So
yeah, yeah.
So I think it's said that Richie could be back in January, isn't it? So I think, I don't know how you feel about Richie, but I think he's a bit of a miss within the squad, just with what he brings. I just love his aggression and how he gets everyone else pumped up. But I don't know, what's your thoughts on Richie?
I mean, I rate Matt Richie very highly. You know, he's not the same sort of player as Jethro Willems is, you know, in terms of going forward and being quite, you know, dexterous with the ball at his feet. But I think what you mentioned there, sort of what he brings to the squad in terms of the spirit and, you know, getting people pumped up, I think you can't really put a value on that. You know, you can't go onto a stats website and say, oh, he's done this, that and the other.
Yeah.
But he's very tenacious. You know, you'll get tackles in, you'll run himself into the ground until the final minute. So, you know, you can't really put a price on that. But I think it will be tough for him to get back in the team because Willems has done so well.
Yeah.
But I think that the type of player that he is, the competition should be only beneficial for him, really, especially if he wants a new contract.
Yeah, Joe, and also I wanted to ask about the resurgence of Shelvey, obviously, because everyone was talking about the Longstaffs and, you know, this could be the midfield duo to lead Newcastle for many seasons to come. But it has been Shelvey and, you know, really scoring the goals in the last few games, really being the leader that, you know, Newcastle fans knew they had in him, but it wasn't the consistency they were getting with him. But in the last few games, what has been this mini turnaround?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it could be down to the fact that I think Shelvey prefers playing under Bruce. I think he has that added responsibility with the captaincy, and maybe he's holding himself to a higher account. But I mean, obviously the Sheffield United goal is a bit of an anomaly. But at the same time, you know, him scoring headers, making late runs into the box, you know, like he was against Southampton, that's kind of the John Joe Shelvey that we all want to see, because we know he has it in his locker. But I mean, I'd say that, yeah, he probably enjoys playing more under Bruce. You know, he's playing more football. He's been given more responsibility. So perhaps that is the best way to get it out of him. But, I mean, it all hinges on whether he can keep it up and whether he can be consistent over a 6, 7, 8 game period, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting because someone else, part of our show, Ketch, said that, you know, maybe he didn't deserve the armband, not because, you know, he wasn't a fan of him as a player, but more that sometimes you have to earn these things, you know. Shelby just coming back into the time and he thinks, you know, he's almost guaranteed a place in the team. You know, he's got that armband, he can sort of do what he wants. He has to know that he still has to work for it at Newcastle. I wanted to know, do you think there is a case for that? And secondly, obviously, Joe, now that this mini run that they are going on, and it has been really a good season up until December, obviously a few lows. What can we kind of expect then from now until May when it ends?
What to expect really? I think looking short term, obviously we have Burnley and Palace up next, and you know we're going to be looking at those games as, you know, we can get 3, 4, 6 points out of those games. But Burnley and Palace equally will be looking at those games as well and mm-hmm. thinking, right, Newcastle, we can take points off them. Yes, they've got 22 points on the board, but they haven't scored that many. And they've been pulled out of dodgy situations by Martin Dubravka, who, you know, the law of averages would state, you know, isn't going to have a 10 out of 10 game every week. So mm-hmm. I think we could be in for a few tough results, a few tough games, much like, you know, the Norwich away and Villa away to come. But I think if we get 5 or 6 more wins, I think we should be in a good position. But it just matters sort of when those wins come. You know, you don't want to be waiting until the end of March to be relying on getting 2 or 3 wins from tricky fixtures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Joe, we really appreciate you coming on tonight. Like I said, we've wanted to have you on the Newcastle Fan Show for a while. So thank you. I know you're busy and for giving us a little bit of time. Hopefully we'll get you on a later date during the season. Joe Donoghue there telling us for his take on Newcastle season so far. But what a time they are having at the minute. Can that continue? It is Burnley on the weekend. Andy Cook will be joining us for his take and to give us the opposition view. But next, though, it is a packed show and I wasn't lying. Steve Rafe, the legend, is joining us.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. What a packed show. If this was an advent calendar, you keep getting it, and the next day and the next day, it just keeps getting better because we've got Sean on the show. We were talking about the back-to-back wins. We just heard from Joe Donoghue, and now you get the big present because the legend that is Steve Rafe is joining us now. Steve, always a pleasure to get you on the show. We know what you mean up there in Newcastle. There is so much to talk about, but let's start it on a positive note. It is the back-to-back wins. What are you making of the team so far?
Hi, lads. Yeah, thanks for having us on. Yeah, look, it's a very positive start of the season, really. You know, compared to the way that, you know, we all thought it was going to go at the start of the season with Rafa's departure and Steve Bruce's arrival. It wasn't exactly an appointment that we could celebrate. And then, you know, after the bad start, he started to pick results up. He's got the team playing the way that he wants them to play. And, you know, he seems to have, you know, reverted back to the, what was working under Rafa Benitez. And that can only be a positive. I think, you know, the results to get the Christmas period with 22 points in the bag and, you know, sitting in a, you know, mid-table berth, it's great. It's beyond our wildest dreams. However, you'll always got to err on the side of caution because, you know, the season isn't decided in December. We have to go through to May and hopefully Steve Bruce can continue. Am I a Steve Bruce fan yet? You know, I still think, you know, there's a long way to go before I think, you know, the fans will be singing his name. But so far, so good as far as, you know, points total are concerned and results.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think, obviously, he did come in for a fair bit of stick, but I don't think it was actually fans so much turning on Steve Bruce as what they were turning on sort of the powers that be at the club. And I think it was just such a disappointing situation when Rafa, well, in my opinion, Rafa was sacked, you know, because the club said that they weren't going to renew his contract. That, for me, you can tot it up any way you like, but that's basically sort of letting someone go. I don't think for 1 minute that Rafa wanted to go. I think he wanted to stay at the club, and, you know, the fans really responded well to him, and it was the thing that he did bring all of that hope and that ambition, you know, that he wanted. And so far, I must admit, I haven't heard a lot from Steve Bruce saying that he would, like, with his future plans for the club and what he'd want to do. You know, it seems everything now in the moment, and he seems quite happy with his lot. I don't know if sort of what your thoughts are, if if you've picked up anything of what he said about his ambitions and stuff and things like that. Is he going to go for
cups? I just genuinely think that Steve Bruce, as you say, is taking it one week at a time. I think he's gradually learned in his early part of the season that he's going to struggle to win the fans over unless he starts winning games. He's started to do that. He's found that the best players that he has at the club are either defensive or midfielders, and that he's badly lacking as far as forwards are concerned, with the exception of St. Maximin, who's now going to be out by the looks of it for 6 weeks. He has Joe Linton and he has Almiron, who, you know, both really are struggling this season. You know, Almiron can run around all day, he's a very fit player, but he's not going to get you many goals, and he's certainly not chipping in with assists either. Joe Linton, for me, is the biggest disappointment. You know, £40 million, you know, whatever the deal was and however it was worked, the club say that it's a £40 million deal, so we have to believe them. And, you know, if they've bought him with the idea of being able to sell him on in due course, then, you know, he's going to have to start doing something else. And I hear all the arguments, you know, that, you know, he's been played out of position, etc., and, you know, that isn't his favourite position. Well, you know, tough, you know, that's where Steve Bruce is asking you to play. You need to start showing that you're a £40 million player, and he's clearly not. He's clearly struggling, and you know, we know that the service hasn't been great up there, but the service has been good enough for our back four and John Joe Shelby to start scoring. So, you know, surely our centre forward should be getting on the end of these chances as well. But that's the biggest negative. You know, we're forwards on scoring goals. Maximum's out now, who is certainly our most exciting forward. What's going to happen now? Richie's had a setback, of course, so he's not going to be available until January. So your two most creative players are now going to be on the sidelines for the biggest, you know, one of the biggest periods in the season over Christmas. You know, that doesn't bode well. And that's what I mean. Getting these points in the bag nice and early could give us a little bit of a cushion for when these guys are out injured. And I've just listened to Lee Charnley's interview on another radio station. It's the, you know, first time I've actually heard him speak other than face to face. And his accent, he sounds a little bit like Kevin Keegan. It's a bit unnerving listening to him, because, you know, he's almost got a believable tone when you listen to him. But listening to him about transfers, obviously Matthew Raisbeck, the interviewer, asked him a little bit about, you know, investment in the transfer window, and he basically said that they've done all of their shopping in the summer. So, yeah, you know, he said, I don't want to lead people up the garden path. You know, if there's a player becomes available and we think it's the right one, then yeah, we'll bring them in. Well, I think a lot of people will be expecting certainly another forward to come in January, because it's what we need, really. We really do need a forward.
Steve, you mentioned the points that they've earned then, and, you know, sort of banking them early, getting them in the bag. But it is 22 points from their opening 16 games, which is 9 more than they had at the same stage last season. So, you know, if those forwards can start scoring, you know, it's always the defenders have been chipping in, Shelby's chipping in. We know how good that defensive foundation is, Dubravka as well. But maybe could this team even reach another level? Because if they all start firing on cylinders, you know, maybe the team, I don't want to say it wasn't written off by, you know, Newcastle fans, but everyone's like, they wasn't sure this season, but I think it's a stronger team than people make out.
I think it's just that, you know, it happened under Rafa. When the chips are down and some of these players get criticised, then these players, you know, they get themselves together collectively. And, you know, obviously Steve Bruce is coaching them, but I look at it and think, you know, maybe this is just a mentality they've got. He played a quite acute game with John Joe Shelby. He wasn't getting the look in, you know, wasn't Rafa's favourite player. Shelby's, you know, managed to get himself back into the team. Given the captaincy, seems to have changed him. Now, is this a new John Joe Shelby? Is it because there's a lot of people seem to think his contract's coming to an end, you know, within the next 12 calendar months, and he's trying to impress to get a new contract because he's on good money at Newcastle. You know, who knows? All I know is that, you know, I care about Newcastle United. I want to see them win games. And if John Joe Shelby's going to keep up this form consistently, then, you know, that can only be a good thing for the football club, because, you know, a fully fit and functioning John Joe Shelby, you know, can certainly win us games, and he's proved that in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I mean, look, will they start hitting the ground running? Will they start scoring goals? You know, who knows? And I mean, yeah, this season's going to go one two ways. We're either going to, you know, have an Alan Pardew type of season where we completely you know, baffle the critics by finishing in the top, you know, the top eight. And you know, who can even say that we couldn't finish in the, you know, in the European slot if the results carried on going in our favour. But you have to be realistic, you know, and up until a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was only, what, 6 points separating us from the bottom three and six mm-hmm. points separating us from the top six. So, you know, that hasn't changed massively. There's been a bit of a freak season so far. You know, even teams in the bottom three have won, you know, three games now, and that's almost unheard of. So there's a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of games to be played, and injuries and suspensions will play their part. And as I've already, you know, said, you know, the fact that we've lost our biggest, you know, our biggest influence so far this season, which I would say is the maximum with his pace, etc. We could be, you know, we could struggle, and no Richie coming back in. Maybe it is time, you know, Steve Bruce might have to put Joe Linton, you know, in his favoured position, and, you know, then, you know, we might see some kind of reaction. But I think my biggest disappointment with Joe Linton is that there's a distinct lack of effort. It's not the fact that he's not scoring mm-hmm. goals as much. It's just he seems almost to have this, you know, reject, you know, like resigned, like body posture where he just doesn't seem to care. He doesn't put the effort in. And yeah, it mustn't be great if you've, you know, you haven't scored since August, but surely you should be busting the gut to do it. And I was looking for a reaction, you know, when he was dropped and Andy Carroll started. And then, you know, we play our next fixture at home and Andy Carroll's back on the bench and Joe Linton starts. You were looking for a reaction. You're looking for him to, you're looking for him to say, right, okay, I get it. You know, I'm not doing my bit. I'm gonna get stuck in. And he didn't do that. And that was really disappointing, you know. And we can't always rely on the back four and Shelby scoring goals. And you know, it is going to be an interesting season. But what, getting back to Sean's point as well, where he said, you know, what are our aims? What's his aims? What's he trying to achieve, Steve Bruce? He want to just, you know, staying up is an achievement for him 100% because he hasn't bought any of these players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's had to come in and try and motivate them. Will he chase the FA Cup? He'll tell everybody that he will. But of course, as we know, when we play that first game against, you know, in the third round, we're not going to be at full strength because of the opposition that we're playing. You'll give players a run out who generally, you know, aren't getting a game. You'd expect to see both Longstaffs featuring in that game for starters. So, you know, will he give the cup a good go? You'd like to think so, but I very much doubt it because the league is the priority. That's the bread and butter, and that's where that's what the owner will want him to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely, and it continues on the weekend to Burnley. Steve, we really appreciate you coming on, giving us some time. We know you're extremely busy, Steve, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. We'll definitely get you on soon. Steve Rafe there. So much his insight, Sean. I absolutely love it. It's always good to get him on, but I know that there's something else that me and you wanted to mention, especially you, and if you would, Sean.
Yeah, I wanted to say that obviously we're deeply saddened to hear about Jim Smith as well passing away. Obviously, you know, he came to Newcastle in 1988, and I remember that period. I was young, you know, I was like sort of, well, 11, I think I was then. But no, I just remember the change of badge and stuff, you know, around that same time of like sort of 1988. And I mean, obviously, he didn't have the greatest of success at Newcastle and stuff, but he was that breath of fresh air that the club needed, you know. And then, obviously, the Premiership was all sort of started off around the time when he had left the club and things and stuff like that. You know, it was this new buzz about the new league and one thing or another. And then, obviously, then we had, like, Keegan who came in and, you know, that was a start of a new adventure with Newcastle. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Jim Smith played, well, he was manager for a lot of clubs, you know, so I just wanted to say sort of that heart goes out to his family and loved ones, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Echoed by Love Sport. Obviously, the tragic passing of Jim Smith yesterday. Thoughts with his family and friends at this moment. That was Steve Rafe. We're just obviously paying our tributes to Jim Smith as well. And now we turn our attentions to the game with Burnley on the weekend. Can Newcastle make it unbeaten? 4 games in 4. Can they make it? 3 wins on the spin. We think they can. But someone who maybe won't think they can, it is former Burnley striker Andy Cook.
Love Sport. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
That's right. It's time for the opposition view on the Newcastle Fan Show. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. Well, Newcastle, they are going good guns at the minute. 3 games unbeaten, back-to-back wins. They play Burnley on the weekend, who are on the back of 3 defeats. 2-0 against Crystal Palace, 4-1 against City, 5-0 against Tottenham on the weekend. And their season started so well. They had great form, but I don't know what's gone wrong in the last 3 games. Someone who will know a lot more than us, it is former Burnley striker Andy Cook, and he joins us now. Andy, it's a real pleasure to have you on the Newcastle Fan Show and Love Sport Radio.
Thank you for having me.
No, Andy, thank you for giving us some time. Andy, what is going wrong in the last 3 games? Very unlike Burnley. They're normally well-drilled, well-disciplined. Don't concede goals like this, but they seem to be falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, it's gone a little bit wrong at the moment, and I think Sean will be quite displeased with how it's gone, considering a few weeks ago, and I came on myself a few weeks ago talking about just how well Burnley were doing and the points they were collecting around the teams, especially around them, like United and the Evertons at the such, and it's just sort of, it's all gone a little bit wrong. And it's amazing how just 2 weeks in football, what it actually does to, how quickly it can turn. So, from them having a great start to being very comfortable in the table, back-to-back and back defeats all of a sudden gives you, you're looking down the barrel of the bottom 3 very, very quickly.
Yeah, in a season that's really close-knit, it feels like in the Premier League for me, I feel like top 4, top 6, but I feel like that's changed almost, Andy. You have like a top 2, then you have sort of everyone else underneath that in a minute, because we can look at it from a point, say Burnley are in 13th, 3 points off the relegation zone. They're only 6 points off 5th, one or 2 wins and they go straight back up there, and that's where they'll be looking, but they have to turn it very quickly because they can be dragged into that relegation battle almost, can't they? Because morale can get low quite quickly.
It is. And I said from where they've been and to what they are, from the defeats, especially, the last game, and now with Newcastle come in, they've done a great run of form. They've been playing some great stuff. And Steve Bruce has been doing an absolute magnificent job there. It now can turn so quickly. And this game is massive. There's no two ways about it. The Burnley game on Saturday is huge, and they've got to start getting points very, very quickly, just to give them that little cushion again. And again, like we said, a 1 win and you're looking quite comfortable. 1 defeat on Saturday, and then they're going into the Bournemouth game, and the pressure starts to pile.
Yeah, especially when you have had bad results, but it's like when you look at it, it's sort of Man City and stuff and Tottenham, surely Burnley, the fans themselves have got to be looking at sort of coming up against Newcastle, and this is points that you have got to sort of be winning. So, how's the mood going to be? Do you think? Do you think this is where Burnley's going to be up for this one? It's a 3 points in the bag as far as they're concerned.
I think you look at it, and again on paper, you look at the Man City game, and has Sean written it off? I'm not too sure. The Tottenham game, he changed his formation slightly through injuries, which again he's gone into the Man City game with a 4-4-2 that's done generally well for him. He's coming on the back of the defeat. He's gone into the Man City game and he's changed it to slightly. Now, whether the Barnes injury was probably not as bad as he first thought, and then that's gone to move on than it was. He's gone to a 4-4-2 at Spurs, which didn't work out for him, how expected. The game they didn't start particularly well, Burnley, in that game. And, obviously the results, says exactly what it says on the tin. Going into the game, as great as Newcastle is at the moment on their little run, Sean will look at it and see it as probably a more winnable game. It'll be a competitive game. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. They will look at it as in, can we get something out of this game? No disrespect to Newcastle at all whatsoever, but that sort of game brings the two teams. You know it's going to be difficult when you go Turf Moor. Newcastle, they knew that. They know that. They got the better of them last year. The Newcastle game actually did see that game, and they played. They did do a really good job. Newcastle last year at Turf Moor, But I think Sean can see this as a, look, we restructure, we rebuild, and we get back to the rugged old-fashioned way of doing things. And, you know, maybe that's he can see something, that Burnley can get something out of that game on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it has been Spurs, it has been Man City, but they'll look at maybe the next four fixtures, with no disrespect, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Everton, and they may say even Man United at home.
They'll say
these are games that, you know, we can get some points in. I know United, obviously, on a very good run at the minute. Let's... Andy, the question really I wanted to ask, what is next for Burnley? Because it's very hard, you know, you come up to the Premier League, and we've seen it with teams, they become an established Premier League side and they're happy with that. And then it's very hard for them to take the next step, because you can't just sort of sit there every year, because fans then go, all right, well, now we are an established, can we get into the top half? Can we maybe get into the Europa League? Can we get in these European places? And then we've seen it with Burnley, they had their European adventure and they sort of struggled after that. It's very hard to keep climbing that mountain, isn't it?
It is. It's a great question. And I've had this similar thing, one of my old clubs at Stoke, where Burnley have done a great thing last year. And, reaching the Europa League, if anything, it hampered them. But what an unbelievable achievement for the budget they're on and the squad they've got, and what Sean's done with momentum in creating what he's done there, which is absolutely unbelievable. But Stoke actually did a very similar thing, and I can only put it into perspective of when they reached the Europa League, and they had a great little run, and then fans started to think, well, hold on a minute, we've got what we've got, we want this, but now we want better, we want more. But actually, when you have to be careful what you wish for, because sometimes at that level it can so easily change. And the Stoke scene, you know, they try and change things, they move things on very, very quickly, and you've seen their downfall. But I think for what Burnley are actually creating, and knowing the fans and whatever, I think that, you know, Premiership survival and what they do year in and year out is, you know, phenomenal, really. And I think, you know, I don't think anytime soon there'll be, you know, course, or we want something more, we want this, we need to be pushing for top six, top seven all the time. I think they just want to see competitive sides that week in and week out produce performances that, you know, that fans can cheer about. And I follow Twitter and everything, and there's you know, what Burnley are doing, and the players, what they're doing player wise with commitment and endeavour and results at a time. All right, they're going through a bad spell, but, you know, they're doing really good things for the club and for the town. And the most important thing is, I think, again, Burnley, you know, with McNeil that's coming through, there's a little sign of, you know, we're bringing some talent through and some young lads. And, they, you know, it's great that Sean's actually putting that in and showing exactly what Burnley are all about. And I think for a while... it hasn't happened, but now there's a little bit of sign of youth coming through and creating something a little bit different. I think it's given, you know, Burnley fans a little bit something to cheer about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Burnley are back at Turf Moor. They'll be happy about that, because it is a tough place to go. I know City didn't ring that true, but it is true. What is your score prediction, Andy?
Oh, it's a tough one. I can't sit on the fence, but I'm going to go for, I think that it can turn around for Burnley. I think I'm going to go for a 2-1 on Saturday.
2-1 for Newcastle, yeah?
No, for Burnley.
Andy, always a pleasure to have you on. Talking to you, such a pleasure. Former Burnley striker Andy Cook there, just a real delight to get him on. He didn't want splinters. He didn't want to sit on the fence, Sean. He went for 2-1 for Burnley. What say you? When he kept saying Sean's done a good job, I thought he was talking about you. He was talking about the very own Sean Dyche. But yeah. Sean Wade, what are you saying?
I'm going to go for Newcastle 4, Burnley 2.
4-2?
Yeah.
Absolute scenes. Well, this has been the Newcastle Fan Show. What a packed show it was tonight. We had Joe Donoghue, Steve Rafe, we had former Burnley striker Andy Cook, and we spoke about the big games, the back-to-back wins. Well, they're not back-to-back wins anymore, because our very own Sean Wade from the Newcastle United Sports Trust is saying it's going to be another one on the weekend. 4-2, beating 4-2. Burnley at Turf Moor. Well, this has been the Newcastle Fan Show with Sean Wade and me, Charlie Organs. We will be back, as we are every Wednesday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.